The term war on terror was first used by George W. Bush in 2001 in the wake of 9/11. It would come to describe a whole range of measures and actions used by the US, Britain and others against Islamist terror groups. A new exhibition at the Imperial War Museum looks at these methods through the eyes of the artist Edmund Clark, using photographs, extensive documentation, graphic illustrations and audio-visual projections. Clark has constructed a series of installations which explore the lengths that states will go to protect their citizens. So, Edmund, this exhibition brings together work from five sort of series of works that you've carried out exploring the global war on terror. It's quite a broad topic. What do these works have in common, would you say? What brings them together?
These works show the unseen processes, sites and experiences of control and incarceration and detention in the global war on terror. They reflect the measures which our governments claim are necessary to protect us from the threat of terrorism. And to some extent, they also show how the experience of terror affects all of us and affects our everyday lives.
It's also an examination of the bureaucracy, isn't it? Because I'm struck walking through this exhibition that everywhere there are documents, redacted documents, framed on the wall next to photographs of rather banal scenes, the outside of buildings, you know, maybe the inside of a semi-detached house and so on.
As an overall, the exhibition is about how we see and how we remember. It's about the power of images, it's about the war of images, it's about the spectacle of the images on our screens. But it's also about making the connection between that spectacle and how that reflects geopolitical global events and the spaces of ordinary life and everyday life. Now, bureaucracy is central to that. I mean, my latest body of work, Negative Publicity, Artifacts of Extraordinary Rendition, which is co-authored with Crofton Black, who's a counter-terrorism investigator, is looking at that relationship between bureaucracy, the bureaucracy of his research, which was into recreating the networks which link companies to airfields, to planes, to governments, to sites where interrogations and torture took place, and how the photographs I have taken respond to that bureaucracy. A lot of that bureaucracy is about showing the form in which it has appeared is through redaction.
We're actually standing in front of that exhibit about extraordinary rendition, and of course that was the process by which terrorist suspects were detained and transferred to another country without any legal process. So explain to me what we're looking at here. We're looking at, because there's documents and photographs. A lot of the documents, as you've mentioned, are blocked out in black magic marker.
So, for example, here you see at the top three pages from an internal CIA report into their own interrogation techniques, and one page of that from the recommendation section is one huge black rectangle.
It's almost pointless, isn't it? Well, I'm rather intrigued by the picture of the indoor swimming pool below that. What is that?
That is from a five-star hotel in Mallorca, and that is a hotel where rendition flight crews would break their flight cycles to stop for some rest and recuperation.
Well, it's straight out of The Night Manager, isn't it, Mallorca?
It's one of the liminal sites of extraordinary rendition, yes.
On the opposite wall, we have photographs of inside the Guantanamo Bay prison camp. I mean, first of all, how did you get in there?
I got access to Guantanamo by applying to the Pentagon and explaining that I wished to do a body of work which looked at Guantanamo as a whole, looked at the naval base where the prison camps are, looked at the place of the naval base in American history. It's been there for over 100 years. Part of that process would be, though, working inside the prison camps as well, because that's why the place had become notorious.
Just describe those
photographs. There's a group of four where on the top left-hand side you have the equipment worn by the immediate response force team, the helmets, the handcuffs, the body armour. Beneath that you have...
It's very Robocop looking, isn't it? Because they're all black.
Yeah. Indeed. Beneath that you have a detail of a pile of shackles, which I saw when I was in Camp 6. So the leather and the metal of the shackles.
What's that rather sinister looking chair with the straps?
That is a mobile force feeding chair.
Ooh.
Which I requested to see when I was in the prison camps in Guantanamo.
And were there things that you were not allowed to photograph?
Before you go to Guantanamo, you have to agree that you're going to work with a digital camera, which is not how I usually have worked when I take photographs. And then at the end of every day, you sit down with a security consultant who goes through your images, and if they think anything needs to be redacted or deleted, rather, they will say so and you delete the file in front of them.
Well, let's move into one of the other exhibits, which details the war on terror here in the UK. Okay, now in this room, there is a floor plan on the floor. In fact, I'm standing on something that says living room. I think it's a three-bedroom house, is it? Explain.
This is a control order house. This is where a terrorist suspect was detained under a control order.
Here in the UK?
In the United Kingdom, which is a form of detention house arrest based on secret evidence without a proper legal process. And have every aspect, every detail of his life controlled. He wears a tag, he lives under curfew, he has to report to a police station every day, he can only meet one person in the street. So kind of every aspect of your life is controlled. Now, I was given access by the Home Office to go and work with someone under that form of control once he had agreed to work with me. And so the installation here is recreating that house.
One of the things that amazes me about your work is, first of all, the access that you got, because, you know, that, I mean, it must have been incredibly difficult to get the Home Office to allow you into one of these control order houses, but also how you've incorporated the censorship that was imposed on you into the work.
I think that's key to all my work, is the censorship and the control which is exercised over my work shapes what I do, and that shapes my relationship to the authorities who are giving me access to these situations. So by making that form of censorship and control explicit in the work that I'm making, that reflects the creative level, the forms of control and power which are being exercised in much more profound ways over the individuals caught up in these processes.
The war on terror was not a conventional war. What does it mean for you as an artist to have your exhibition in the Imperial War Museum, which actually is a museum mainly in the past dedicated to conventional warfare?
I think it is highly significant that a national and international institution like the Imperial War Museum is putting on work which questions and goes beyond kind of the conventional forms of conflict. You know, part of what I'm doing here is looking at the war of images, which has characterised the global war on terror, looking at ideas of spectacle and relating how the images which are played out on our screens, when taken out of context, can be revisited and rethought to make us think again about the processes of war that we have been through and we are experiencing every day.
Edmund Clarke, and War of Terror opens at the Imperial War Museum on Thursday.